Give you one more opportunity. I want you to leave the church tonight and say, well, I wish I'd have stood up. But we know the Lord's been good to each and every one of us. He really has. And you know, I don't know nothing else I'd rather do or in no other place that I'd rather be at is in God's house. And trying to do what He's asked me to do. And I'm like my wife. I thank the Lord for leading us here. I thank the Lord for allowing me to pick up the phone that day and call Brother Bill. And then we got together. But I thank the Lord for each and every one of you. And I thank y'all for the confidence that you have in me. And I pray that I don't let you down. I know that I'm just a human being. And I will come up short every time. But I just pray. That's my prayer. That's one of the things that I am so afraid of, that I'm going to do something that will hurt the church. And I don't want to do that. That's not my intention. I'd rather for God just to take me on home. If He has any inkling at all that Satan's going to get to me, the way I'm going to end up hurting the church, because we don't need no more people hurting the churches today. And I definitely don't want to hurt a church. And I thank the Lord for each and every one of you for your faithfulness to Faith Baptist Church and your faithfulness to God. For the time that you've known Him, you've tried and tried and tried to be the very best of Christians. And I'll tell you, I don't see how some of y'all, well, I don't see how any of y'all has really been able to stand the test of time. But we know that the Lord, He's there. He knows everything. He's everywhere. And He can answer any request that we have. And but you know, I just thank Him. Because He didn't have to save me. Because He could have said, Donna, I just don't think you're worth it. But I'm sure I'm glad that He didn't look at me that way. Amen. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Chapter 2. And we're going to be reading there in Acts chapter 2 and bring about some stuff. And then also we may go to Acts chapter 4. But here in Acts chapter 2, in verses 42 down through 47, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continued steadfastly with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should should be saved. We see right here the first church. This right here is the first mention of the church, the first church. And today we've got away from believing so many things that the Apostle Paul wrote and everyone. But right here, Luke, right here is the writer here. But, you know, we just need to be reminded of some things that we had in the times past. And, you know, it says that, and they continually steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. They continue reading the Word of God. They continually trying to be familiar what the Word was saying. They was trying to be familiar in what God wanted them to do. And that's how the church come about, which we know the church is a place to where we set aside, to where we can come in and where we can teach God's Word and where we can preach, where we can have fellowship and we can have it and not have to worry about the rain and the sleet and the snow and being out there getting wet and all that. We have the place of worship. This right here is not the church. This building is not the church. It is the house of prayer. This is the place that we must come to and ask the Lord to help us as we go about doing His will in our lives. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Fear. Have you seen the time that we're living in today where there's nobody the fear of God? They don't fear God. They tempt God today. They say, "No, I ain't got to go to church today. I can wait until I get saved. I can wait on for a few more years before I get saved. Here I am. I'm just 35. I can wait till I'm at least 40 or 45. But they can't. They don't never know when that door is going to close. They never know when that door is going to close from the Holy Spirit and speak into their heart. We also know, too, that the fear of the house of prayer. People don't feel, they don't have the fear in coming the place of worship. They don't fear it anymore. I know at one time, and I can go back and I can remember this, but see, it hadn't been that long, it hadn't been that many years since I've been saved. Back in 1980s when I got saved, but I can go back and I can remember then and going to church with my grandmother and different ones, and I would go to church and I could see the way the people and where the pastor of the church, there were certain things that could go on within the church house. It was certain things that could happen. Why? Because the man behind the pulpit had fear for what's going to happen. But how many of them today? How many today fear the Lord? How many Christians that you know of, that you know are Christians, and they in church Sunday after Sunday, and they live a Christian life? But how many do you really know them if they really fear God? Now, some people will give you this definition of fearing God, and some will give you that. But I think the definition that I have searched out and I've come up with is that I need to fear God so much that if I don't come to the house of worship, and if I don't come in with a clean heart and a clean conscience, then I know that the Holy Spirit is going to start dealing with me. I need to fear God to the point that He's liable to take me out just like that. But today, people don't fear God. They don't fear Him that, hey, well, that's the reason you hear so many of them say, oh, I can wait 4 or 5 more years to get in church. I'm saved and everything. They don't fear God. You cannot be saved and not fear God. You cannot be saved and not have the desire in your heart to come to church and worship Him in spirit and in truth. But we see people all the time where you can go out and you can talk to them, you can call them on the phone, or you can go visit them. Well, you know, right now, there's some things that's going on in my life that I don't believe that I could come to church and really do what God wants me to do. People like that are dangerous. And the reason they are dangerous is because they done got it in their mindset that, hey, when I get okay, when I get my life completely perfect according to His word, then I'll come to church. Then I can come and I can visit you. And if I feel like the word's been preached, then I'll come and I can join the church. But the thing about what they don't realize is they will never get to the point in our life that they will ever be good enough to be in God's house and to be around God's people. You know what makes us mature in the Lord? It's not just coming and having preaching and service. It's coming and hearing from other people and meeting the ones that are here. I can remember times when I was working on a public job, and where I was at, I was assistant service manager, and we had mechanics. Well, mechanics, they don't have the cleanest mouth. And some of the things that they said and everything, but one thing that I did get them out of not saying, and that was using God's name in vain. Because when I heard it, I take them over to the side. I said, I want to ask you something. I said, what has God done to you? I said, God has given you the fresh air to be able to breathe today. He's given you the strength, and He's given you the knowledge to be able to come out here and work on this automobile. And I says, you can do what you want to. I said, but don't use God's name in vain, not around me. Because it's not right. Because God, if anything, God has been merciful to you. And He's took care of you this long. He just would love to see you get saved. And they said, well, I don't think God will want to save me. It's not a soul that God don't want to save. He died for who? The whole world. He died for every living soul. Why? Because they are breathing the breath of air that He gave them and that He's given them every day. But not only that, we see the wonders of the of what has happened down through times in the Bible. We've seen things where has come about. We've seen over in John chapter, I believe chapter 6, talking about the young lad there. Where the young lad went and he offered up what he had. He offered up his daily nourishment for that day. The fish and the bread. He donated that. He gave it to the Lord for the Lord to use it. And he didn't ask for nothing in return. I haven't found it. It's nothing that says that lad asked the Lord for anything in return. That little lad didn't ask the Lord. So, well, Lord, you reckon maybe that you could leave just a little portion there for where I can go on and take on my daily chore today? Where I can take it in there? But the Lord did say, bless it. He blessed him for giving that. And then at the end of it, when all the people had, and the miracle that was there, you know what the miracle was? Well, they said down there that all was filled. In other words, their belly had been filled from the meat and the bread that they had. From this young lad. And it was over 5,000 people. It was plus the ladies and, I mean, the women and the children and everything. Over 5,000. We don't know if it's right at 5,000. We don't know if it's 5,500. We don't know if it's 6,000, 7,000. It could have been 15,000. We don't know. He said about. About could be under or could be over. But when they broke bread and when they ate it that day, let me see if I can find the verse that I'm looking for. That they went about and they was about ready to leave and go on the way and following the Lord. And doing what the Lord had asked him to do. Now, this right here shows us if we obey the Lord, and if the Lord speaks to us and we do what he asked us to do, then he's going to bless us. Right? It says right here, it says, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he gave thanks. The Lord Jesus Christ, he gave thanks for the bread and the fish that this young lad had given him to where he could go and distribute it to all the people. Now, I say that young lad there had faith. He had faith in whom he was turning his meal over to, that he was going to provide for every individual there. And when they were filled, verse 12 is the key right here, chapter 6 of John. This right here speaks of the miracle. When they, it doesn't say when 100 of them or 1,000. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. That right there, a miracle in it itself. Around about 5,000 people, and he didn't have but what? 5 barley loaves, 2 small fishes. But yet, the Lord Jesus is telling the people, and he's telling this young lad, says, do you mind if what we gather up, that we'll go about and we'll give it back to you? A young lad wasn't expecting that. When we least expect it, that's when God will bring about his blessings. When he least expects it, when we least expect him showing up and doing what only God can do. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that did eat. It doesn't say, but I'm going to read between lines here. And I'm going to say this. And nobody can dispute me. If it can, they're going to have to take that up with God. But, you know, I mean, hey, to me, I see right here where a lad right here, he had a mother and a father that feared God. That he had a mother and a father that loved the Lord. That he had a father and a mother that taught him what was right and what was wrong. And all of that, every day, his father probably got up real early in the morning and probably went down by the river behind the house or where it was at that time, real early in the morning when the dew was still on the ground, and he'd walk and he'd go to the riverbank and he'd cast his over there and hoping and praying he'd get some fish for the daily meal. I mean, you know, that's the only thing this little young lad mentioned was the fish and the bread, right? I mean, I'm sure probably they had other things to eat. But that day, the only thing that young lad had was the 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. That's all he had for that day. And it doesn't say how long he was going to be away from home. He could have been, going to school or going somewhere that morning. Going and being around some other young people. And as he was there, as he was traveling up the road, he heard a noise. He heard a noise on the bank side of the trees in the woods. So he went on the other side there, and he saw a field there that was green. It wasn't no pasture. He saw a great big field there that was green. And where there was people there all over. He filled the field up. And they was there. He was there watching the people. But then he seen some other individuals over here to the side, and they was discussing about what they must do, because the people was in need of food. They was in need of nourishment because they'd been following the Lord all day. But we can go back up and we can see where it talks about this. Says, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove them, for he himself knew what it would do. Philip answered, 200 pennyworths of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. In other words, what Philip is saying, Philip is telling the Lord, says, Lord, this is all the currency, all the money that we have is just 200 pennyworths. To go out here and to buy enough food, to spread it around, so they can have some kind of nourishment for the soul, nourishment for the body. The strength where they can be able to get up from the ground and be able to travel the rest of that day. And just hoping that along the way, that somebody would come by and donate them a little something.
Excuse me. But as he was looking over the flock of the people there, he saw a multitude of people, about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks. That's a key word right there. Giving thanks. Giving thanks to who? The Lord Jesus Christ. And when you give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not only giving just him thanks, but you're also thanking the Holy Spirit for speaking to you where you can give the Lord Jesus Christ the thanks. And then where you can turn around and then he can say, well, Father, guess what happened? Donnie just thanked me for this meal he's about ready to eat. He gave thanks. He gave thanks. And it says away in Luke chapter 18, I believe it is, where Jesus telling there said, Simon, Simon. Then he goes down to the next verse and he says, this is Jesus speaking. And he says, Simon, I'm praying for thee. Now, I don't think that if Jesus said that to Simon there, that he just said it to Simon. And he mean it just for Simon. No, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ now is in heaven, sitting at the right hand of God the Father. He's praying for me. He's praying for you. He's praying for your family. He's praying for the prayer requests we've asked him for. He is praying for us on an individual basis. And nothing that has happened today surprises God. Nothing surprises God. Because everything that we're going through now and everything that's happening today, we have the gospel newspaper in front of us. We don't have the Redston Bee, and we don't have the Fox News and the ABC News and all of that. I have the good news. The good news, well, all of these things have got to come to pass. How much more can we stand? Well, he says in his word that he's not going to put no more on us than what we can stand. He's not going to put no more on us than what we can carry. And what is it? What has it done for us as individuals? As far as serving the Lord, I think it's allowed us to grab a hold of a little more faith. A little more faith in our prayer life and everything else. That we know that God's still in control. But getting back to what I was talking about this young lad right here, and like I said, that I read between the lines, and when I do that, now I'm not saying that that's literally what happened. This is what I see that as a good possibility that could happen. That his daddy had been out that morning and caught fish. And when he left that morning, going out wherever he was supposed to go, that day school or wherever, his mother got in there and she started preparing the bread. She labored over the wooden fire or the stove that they had or whatever. She labored over that. To where she could be able to feed her family. Where she could be able to feed her son as he got back home that day. And where she could be able to feed her husband when he came back and he brought fish. That was her duty as a wife or a lady at that time, for her to provide for her family. Not to go out here and do the fishing. Not to go out here and go out here and take the wheat. But labor over a hot fire. Now some of you know what that is, how that is. I don't. I've never done that. I've never even really, even with the stove that we had, the electric stove we had, I ain't went in there and die. They have to tell me how to turn it on. I mean, you know, I don't know how to turn it on. I mean, to me, that won't my, it's not my position, but now, if something happened, and if my wife and my daughter both, if they both got down sick, and neither one of them could do, I reckon I could probably get the manual out and try to figure it out. But now the recipes that I'd come up with and I would have to stomach it, because that's all I could do would be stomach it. Because I'm no cook. And I thank the Lord that we do have cooks. I thank the Lord that the ladies don't have to depend on the men to do the cooking. Because I know myself, I wouldn't have gained over 300 pounds at one time. I wouldn't have weighed that either, because I'd have been real small, because my cooking, I mean, if you hand me a can of pinto beans, I'll open a can of pinto beans up and I can put a spoon in there and I can eat them just like that. But as far as warming them up, I don't know how to operate them things.
You don't have to burn him. He can eat a mayonnaise sandwich.
If someone provides me with a tomato, I can eat me a tomato and mayonnaise sandwich.
That's right. He needs a sandwich.
But as this right here, as they broke up here in the field, there, I believe the Lord Jesus went to Philip and went to the others there, Andrew and Simon Peter's brother, and says, you know, this lad right here, he showed up at the right time. Just like the Lord. The Lord Jesus, he shows up at the right time. Don't he? He's always there. He's never too early. He's never too late. He's right on time. But as they gathered the 12 baskets together, I believe that one of the disciples, I don't know which one it was, maybe it was all of them, I don't know, says, I think that we need to take these 12 baskets that we have right here, and we need to take it back and give it back to this young lady. One of them probably said, well, he can't tote no 12 baskets. He didn't come in here on a chariot. He didn't come in here on a donkey. The Lord Jesus said, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. He can just lead us home to his house where he calls home. And me and the other 10 of us will just follow him. We'll just follow him on home. And when he got home, here was a dad. His daddy had just come back from fishing, have done caught some fish and everything, and was probably now cleaning the fish. I don't know. But he did knock on the door. Now, this is a lad now, and it was his home, but he was knocking on the door. Now, back then in them days, you could say, come on in. Well, you know, we can go back in a time period. Some of you that grew up, you can remember that, where you didn't have to lock doors. Some of you can remember where you didn't have to lock the church house doors, where you left the church doors open, where people, if they were driving on the highway and they saw a church, if they just wanted to come in and just talk to the Lord a little bit, they could come in. Not today. If you leave a church doors open today, the only thing that you're going to have in here, you may have the wiring system, I don't know. You ain't going to have no pews. Down very Sicily, you'll even have your carpet. Why? They'll come in, they'll take everything you have. They don't fear God. One day they're going to fear God. One day they're going to fear God. We're going to have to stand up. They're going to have to stand up. And they're going to have to give an account for everything that they ever done. And the saddest words in the Bible, I believe, is when he says to the individual, depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity, for I never knew you. For I never knew you, and you didn't know me. The only time that you wanted to know me was when you wanted something. We have Christians that way today. Anytime that they will come to the house of the Lord, they will come. But you better watch out. They got an agenda on the back burner. Now, don't get me wrong. Hey, I mean, I welcome anybody into the house of the Lord. I welcome anybody here. But they're going to have, if they come in, they say that they're a Christian, they're going to have to come in, they're going to have to prove themselves. Not just talking it. But they're going to have to walk it. And they just can't live it in Him. They need to live it outside. Because that's when the, what's the old truck drivers, what do they say? That is when the metal, or the, all of that and everything, that's when the rubber meets the road, might want to say. When it's out there. But see, hey, hopefully everybody that's in church is saved. But we know also that it's the foolishness of God's preaching that will bring sinners to Him. The foolishness of His preaching. Now, I believe that. I believe right there when the young lad there, when he was knocking on his door at his house, no doubt he was probably maybe disturbing them because his father was cleaning fish and he probably asked her, said, "Honey, how about going to the door? There's somebody there knocking." Well, she said, "Well, you know, it's about time for the boy to be back home. So, but he's still knocking. It's gotta be a stranger, somebody just coming by with some water or something like that." So she goes to the door. And she pulls the door open. She sees her son there standing in the front. This is where Jesus was following the son. He was obeying what this, and he would, not obeying, but, well, other words, and what his son had done, and his faithfulness to the Lord and to all the people that was there. The Lord Jesus, he just wanted to return some of the blessing to this dear family. Because he knew this dear family worked hard for that. And the, I'm probably going to be with a minute, but time will get, when I get through with it. But as the mother says, "Son," we said, "why didn't you come on in?" Says, "I know you got you some friends with you." Said, "Well, come on in. You didn't have to stand outside and knock and for us to come over the door. Now, have you ever had anybody do that to you? Have you ever had your kids to come by and you know, they've been out playing or something like that, and then they knock, 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 knock. And by the third time, they said, "Well, there's got to be somebody besides Johnny or Joey or Sarah or Melissa or who it is. There's got to be somebody besides them." So they go and they open the door. We have got to open our heart's door. We have got to take our heart and we've got to take that latch, pull that latch up and let it swing down. And when we do that, that's when the Lord Jesus can come in. But when that young boy, that little lad walked into that house that day, the Lord Jesus Christ was right behind him. He had a basket on this shoulder and one on that shoulder. Then he had the others to come, had a basket on this shoulder and a basket on that shoulder, until they all come in. And she said, "Son, what are you bringing?" I said, "Well," says, "you know, I just went and offered up the 5 barley loaves, 2 small fishes, to this man called Jesus, to where he could feed all his followers, because they was hungry." And the Lord Jesus Christ went over and set his name on the floor, and he rose up. And I believe he gave thanks for that family and what they done. You know, there's many ways that we can give God thanks for. There's many ways that we can praise the Lord. There are many ways. But we need to be mindful that he just wants somebody to talk to him. And I'll tell you, I don't think that mother or that father, and I know especially that son, they were not the same from that day forward. They couldn't have been. Seeing that kind of miracle take place, when she knows that she just sent 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish, her husband went away and said, "Now, this is all we got for today." He said, "But I'm going to go out today and I'm going to catch some more." That's all he had. He gave everything he had to the Lord. The Lord blessed him. Just like the widow lady over in the book of Kings. Telling Elijah. It's Elijah. I don't have much. The Lord wanted this widow lady to fix her one small cake. And she says, "I just got enough to last me and my son for the meal we're going to have this afternoon. And then we're going to die, but we have no more." You know the story behind that. How he blesses. How he blesses our soul each and every day. Every head bowed, every eye closed, as people stand. Brother Bill, come. Now, Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Father, we ask in God now that you will look down favored upon these people. And, Father, we ask, Lord Jesus, you'll give them a good week this week. And, Father, in what they are about to do this week, Lord, we ask, Father, that you will bless them. Because, Father, I know these people. I know in what they believe and what they've trusted down through the years, Lord. And, Father, we just ask in God that you'll just help them, Father. Just to go up to someone and say, "You know, God loves you." That's what people are. Today are looking for. They are looking for somebody else to come by and just tell them that not only do the Lord Jesus Christ love them, but they also love them. We must love one another. And Father, we thank you. But Father, we thank you for the first church. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that that church has stood the test of time. And God is still going to continue on until you come back after the church, which is the bride of Christ. And that one day that we're going to stand before the bridegroom. And Lord, we're going to have to give an account
in what we do. Now, Father, we just asking that you go with these people. Bid them each and every step of the way. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen.